Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill Radio Show. We're so glad that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come and join us. And we are always so excited to be able to really share the truth and the good news with you. And Ms. Barbara, can you hear me very well?
I can. It's good to have you back, Diana.
Oh, it's good to be back in Alabama. Sweet home Alabama.
There you go.
Alabama is just, there's nothing like home. You know, wherever you were born or wherever you grew up, there's just something special, you know, coming back to your home state, even though I did enjoy where I was. I love Texas, and I think if I had my number two, it would be Texas because the people were just really wonderful, but it's so good to be home, black and beautiful Alabama. And I apologize for my voice. I'm not quite over my cold, Ms. Barbara, so I'm hoping that you'll be able to understand me anyway.
Well, you're doing just fine, Diana, and it's also so good to have you back home on the radio show as well as being back in Alabama. But you're doing just fine, and we're just delighted you're back.
Well, thank you, Ms. Barbara. I did get a note. As you know, I have been traveling, so I have not had my internet on, and I just now got it on. Thank God for the company that provides services. They did it really quick, but I've not had a chance to really check a lot of my messages, and I hate to say it, but one of the messages I got was that our dear friend, Grace Marie Turner is a friend to everyone that loves, I think, this nation. But anyway,
That's
she's
right.
been so gracious to come on our show for almost a year now, Ms. Barbara. I think she comes on every month and never fails, but we are going to have to reschedule. She is traveling, and she's afraid that her cell signal will not be good, so they asked if they could be rescheduled to next Friday, and of course, we're just always grateful, you know, for her to even come on and give us such wonderful, timely information on Obamacare that, yes, is coming on, but it will be next Friday. So today it'll be just you and me. So.
Okay, well we'll be able to handle that. We will miss her though. But you know, I was thinking Don Wildman with the Tea Party out in California in San Diego She loves being on with Grace Marie Turner with the Galen Institute. So, and Don Wildman comes on Friday. So that'll really work out well because the two of them can talk. But you know, Diana, Grace Marie Turner is such a gracious lady, and she has blessed us with her presence over the past year. And she keeps us informed. We also receive her email, which is available to anyone who would like to be informed about Obamacare and the steps that are being taken to repeal it and restrict it and everything that's going on in the healthcare reform arena. Anyone can get her it's about once a week, report by email. It is free, and you go to the Galen Institute, that's G-A-L-E-N, Institute, and Grace Marie Turner is the founder and president of that institute, which was formed back in the 1990s. So she's been doing research and analysis and for many, many years about this. And, you know, Diana, she is one of the top experts in our country and thus in the entire world about health care reform. And what I love everything about the Galen Institute and those that are working to rescue our freedom as Americans from our government and what is being what we're being attacked with regarding Obamacare and so forth. But they provide information about free market solutions that are patient-centered, you know, where patients and doctors make the decisions regarding their health care, and it's just wonderful the work that they do at the Galen Institute. So I encourage everyone, if you have not yet done so, go to that website and get on the email list so that you can be informed and then so you can inform others, because that's what it's going to take, Diana. We have been so lacking in personal responsibility. I'm talking we. I'm talking myself. I'm talking just about all Americans. We have been lazy in personal responsibility about becoming knowledgeable and well-informed. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying we're lazy. We work hard. We are a hardworking people. I'm not saying that. We definitely are hardworking people. But we have neglected growing in knowledge in just about every arena. And our civic duty, civics, what's in our Constitution, we the people allow our government to do and not to do, it's important that every American learn that. So I'm saying that we need to bear personal responsibility, each one of us, to address what's happening in our world today. Back to you, Diana.
Well, Ms. Barbara, with that in mind, I'd like to start us off in prayer, because I'm just really humbled at how God, he says that to ask him for wisdom, and he will give it to us liberally. And we have talked about the story of Ben Carson and how God gave his mother supernatural wisdom, and that, you know, her two children, my goodness, Ben Carson is the first neurosurgeon to successfully separate Siamese twins. And how could that happen with somebody who didn't even know how to read, to raise children like that? But this is it. It's all about God. And I think sometimes we forget that friend, just like Benjamin Franklin has reminded us. This show is not about you. It's not about me. And I'm so glad to have a partner like you, because, Ms. Barbara, I know it's, you don't put it on as such. It's all about God. But it's so good because we have asked him for wisdom so that we can share it with others that are hungering for wisdom. And he has given us the very best. What you just said about Grace Marie, there is no equal.
to Grace Marie. So if you want to hear
about what's going on with
health care, you need to tune in to Grace Marie, because there's nobody that's going to give you information like that. And I find that in a lot of the topics, Ms. Barbara, there's nobody like those that comes on the show that can give you such incredible information that you don't hear, unfortunately, on the mainstream media. You know, they should be up there. They should be the ones that the mainstream has got every night proclaiming the truth that they have found, but they're not, you know.
Yeah.
They barely can get time on this.
I'm sorry. Did you
finish? No, go ahead.
Okay.
I did.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was thinking about Elaine Donnelly. She is another gracious lady that we've had on the show several times, and she is one of the most knowledgeable women and people about military affairs in the country, in the entire country, and yet we don't see her on being interviewed on TV even now and again, let alone regularly. But she's one of those top experts that needs to be, we need to hear her, you know. And I was thinking also, and yes, you're absolutely right, the people that are so gracious to come on our show and keep us informed and our listeners informed so that we can grow in knowledge and be good citizens and good stewards of what God has given us. Let me say, if we're going to be good stewards of what God has given us, freedom is one of the most precious gifts that God has given us. And to be a good steward of that freedom means that we do become knowledgeable about God's truths and his principles of freedom, and that we know about our own form of government and what to do to protect the freedom for our loved ones and all Americans as well. But you know that the TV shows that we see, Diana, sometimes, you know, I've gotten where I don't watch them very often, because they have the same people every night, you know. You know, and
there's so much more they could get. There's so much more out there, voices that they need to be really letting American people hear, just like the ones that we have. You know, it's really amazing the caliber of people God has allowed. But again, Ms. Barbara, it's like this. He will give it to us if we ask him. And I say that to the listeners, because he will give it to them. It's not about us. It's all about him. You know, he's such a gracious and loving father. And I was just looking last night at the debate. And one of the, you know, you could see the Romney and the Paul action towards Santorum. And you think, my goodness, these two have more in common than I thought.
Something's
you know,
going
we
on
had put
there,
an end.
Huh?
Yeah, we
something's
had put an
going
end about
there.
That. Because,
well, I found
you know,
out what it was.
Stand on
what's going on?
What was that? Well, I did find out a little something.
Ron Paul's son, Senator Rand Paul, has stated, and I'm assuming he stated it publicly, that he would be glad to be Mitt Romney's vice president.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I saw that. I saw the article
on
that.
So, Ron Paul is not going to attack Mitt Romney, and Mitt Romney's not going to attack Ron Paul, but instead they're beating up Rick Santorum.
Oh yes, but I think they did they overplayed their hand, because I think a lot of people are now seeing that the work of the two of them were doing. You know, I mean, it was just too obvious. I think they overplayed it to the point that it was really. It was kind of like, I hate to say it, I don't know what to say, it's like a pecking, you know, a pecking thing going on. And I almost think of buzzards, you know, two buzzards trying to peck. But it's derogatory. And I think of the things, one of the things that they have in common, which people of faith, this is important to us. We know what God's word says about homosexuality is a sin. And that's one of the things that, you know, Ron Paul had been quoted time and time again to say that, you know, he does not have a problem with it. You know, he can't say that it's a sin. So that he has in common with Romney, who apparently doesn't see it as a sin because he helped the same-sex marriage, you know, be placed in effect in his own state of Massachusetts, really kind of like a fiat that you say, you know, Ms. Barbara. His Supreme Court of Massachusetts did not require him. It was giving an, I think it was suggesting it to the legislature to enact law, but they did not act on it. But Mitt, on his own, acted, and what does he do? He passes, he gives out directive to his state Department of Public Health to give out same-sex marriage licenses, which, of course, that's what's happened now. That this is same-sex marriage state. But one of the things that hurts them that really we're not hearing about is the children. And we had heard that with David Parker, a father who tried to get his kindergartner out of that homosexual indoctrination that came out with the same-sex marriage. You know, it was just a natural occurrence because, after all, what they were trying to do is teach his children about families. That's why his child could not be opted out. And to me, that is so damaging that if the people in the southern states or the most conservative states really knew the truth in that, which you're not hearing a thing about it in the news, you know, instead, what does Romney present himself as a true conservative? And Ms. Barbara, how can that be?
Well, you know, in the debate last night, he tried to portray himself as the one who stood with the Catholic Church when they were shutting down the adoption agencies, the Catholic adoption agencies, which provided over half of the adoption process, you know, and Mitt Romney tried to portray himself as trying to prevent it when some of the actions that he took led toward that inevitable conclusion. So, you know, it's frustrating and but I'm hoping you're right, Diana, that they overplayed their hand when they were acting like buzzards and pecking or whatever. I was thinking of two bullies myself, you know, ganging up on someone. But anyway, you know, these are interesting. Yes.
We need to, as always, start with a prayer, and I'd just like to add to that and ask you to start off with prayer. Is I was also thinking that, you know, in a way, they gave some Torum some free ads in that he got to debunk a lot of the false advertising against him because he had a chance. Yeah, it was long explanations, but, you know, it had to be done. Now that it's out there, I remember seeing a post about a man that says, you know, I finally made up my mind, it's for Santorum. So they may have done the very opposite of what they and the media thinks, you know, is happening. So with that in mind, it's a spiritual warfare.
So you're thinking that, as it says in Genesis chapter 50, what the enemy meant for evil, the Lord is turning it and using it for good?
I think so, because I saw that post, and that I bet you anything that man got, you know, the media made it out like it was long-winded explanation. He was on the defensive. But to tell you the truth, a lot of people really didn't know the truth. They were being given lies, and they had nothing to combat, but they heard from the man himself, you know. And I think just like everything else, the light shines bright in the darkness, and it just went poof.
Yeah.
You know, some of these people's minds just went, hey, that makes sense.
Let's, after we pray, if we can at some point maybe return to this and talk about Arlen Specter. And I thought that Santorum explained that so well that even I could understand what he was saying. So maybe we can talk about that after we pray. Well, let's pray together. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, that we can come before you, Father, as sisters in the Lord, and Father, with our listening audiences, brothers and sisters in the Lord, we come before you and we say, our Father, you are our Father. And we're so grateful for you, Father, and we're so grateful for the freedom of access, the great privilege of coming before you in the name of Jesus, your beloved Son and our beloved Savior and Lord. We're so grateful, Father, and we lift up our request to you. We thank you for what is happening, that we, Father, we can sense in the spirit realm. We can sense, Father, and sometimes we see and sometimes we hear those tokens for good, Father, that you allow us to see and hear. But we sense that something exciting is happening in our country and believe also throughout the world as well, Father. And where your people are, O Lord, where your people live and where your people bow their heads and their hearts and their knees to you, O God, and ask you, O God, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that we would turn from our wicked ways and turn to you, Father, and pray and seek your face, Lord, that you would hear from heaven and forgive our sins, O Father, though they be as scarlet. Forgive our sins, Father, as a people, as a nation, as well as individually, and that you will forgive us, O God, and heal our land. We do pray it. We join with so many others, Father, across this great land and to the uttermost parts of the world, Father, that are praying that, Lord. Because we recognize, O God, that only you have the answers for the tsunami of difficulties that we're facing, Lord. And only you can help us, O God, because we have so turned away from you and dug ourselves into these deep pits of corruption, Father. And you are our only way out, Lord. But we're not asking that we get out just to resume our activities, Father, or that we just resume to bring things the way they were in the past when it was not so bad in this country. No, Father, we want to be turned back to you to do it your way, O God, and your way alone. Your ways are the best ways, and you do know what's best, O God, and a return to you. That's what we pray. That's what we must have. And, Father, we also pray that we would be soul winners and that those who come to know you and love you will be soul winners, Lord, that we can share your love and truth and salvation in Jesus Christ with everyone, Father. Give us wisdom. Diana spoke about we need your wisdom, and we pray for that, Father. We pray for your wisdom and not to doubt it, Father, not to be double-minded, asking for it and then floundering, Father, but to trust in you that you will give us your wisdom, just as you have so many others who've asked in the past and been blessed with your wisdom. We need you, Lord, and we need your wisdom for this hour, this time, this day. And we love you and we praise you. We ask you to bless our troops, Father, particularly those in harm's way and their families, Lord, as they are concerned about their loved ones in those places where there's such danger. We pray your protection, your provision for them, O God. Help them, O God. Help them, O God. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Barbara. Awesome to always give it to him in prayer. And I really love that, and I thank God for that privilege that we have in this nation. And really, it's for anybody. Anybody can come boldly to a throne of grace. And I remember hearing that, you know, especially the sinner's prayer. If you're one that doesn't know the Lord as your Savior, you know, his ear is turned to you, just waiting for you. So I'm hoping that, you know, at this time, many people all over this nation and all over the world will look towards, you know, our Lord Savior Jesus Christ to save them, because these are perilous times, and it's going to take a miracle. I just feel like it's going to take a miracle to get us in the mess that we've built for ourselves, Ms. Barbara.
It is indeed. And yes, the Lord is waiting for those to turn to him that have not yet done so. And he desires that no one be left out. You know, he desires that all should come to him, that none should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. That's his gift to us, and that's his desire, that everyone receive his gift, and that gift is his Lord, his Son, Jesus Christ. And so that's our desire as well. And, you know, we've all prayed the sinner's prayer, those of us who know him, in one way or another. And you know, basically what it is to just admit to God that you are a sinner. And as I have, as Diana has, as has everyone who is saved and who has been rescued from the grip of sin and destruction and been translated by the Lord himself, translated into his kingdom, where we're now his family. We're his kindred. And so, you know, that's how it is. And, you know, to admit our helplessness to save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. There's no amount of good that you can do to save yourself. It doesn't come that way. That's not how salvation comes. We have good works as a P.S. Thank you, Lord. You know, and his life is within us now, and we do good works, but it has nothing to do with salvation. That's a free gift. And we cannot work hard enough or long enough to ever earn salvation. It is a beautiful free gift from God himself, and it's a God work in our hearts to remove all evil from us and to transplant God's heart within us. You know, that we would be his dwelling place on this earth, and that we would be his hands, his feet, his mouth, his ears to hear the cries of the poor and the oppressed and those who need, have tremendous needs. Diana, I just recently, this morning I was in Bible study, and I heard about how there are growing numbers of homeless women in our communities and in our area. And how they have such needs. I also heard that, you know, some of them are girls, women who have returned home having nowhere else to go, but they're not welcome in their homes anymore. Mm. They have problems, lots of problems, whether it's alcoholism, drug addiction, sickness. They're just in terrible, terrible need, and we were praying to see what the Lord would have us to do regarding that. But it's just, you know, it's just there are such needs. But God is big enough. This is, I just love the Lord, and how there's no shortage in his storehouse. He is big enough to meet every need that anyone has, and he is desiring to do that. And so we just need to step into that place where he wants us to be his hands, his feet, his ears, and mouth to share truth, and our arms. We need to be his arms, to wrap our arms around those who need a good hug, who need to be held and loved, and to know the security of God's love. Have you ever had a hug that was so long and so strong and filled with such love and peace that you knew it was a hug from the Lord? Have you ever had a good hug like that, Diana?
I think I have. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's a gift. You know, I've known a few women, very motherly women, that I think the Lord is particularly gifted with that ability to do that. And there's something just so, so comforting and reassuring in that, you know. And I've been privileged to have that several times. And, you know, you just feel God's love just pouring through them, you know, and just what a beautiful gift. But God wants us to be available and be there for those who need him.
Well, Barbara, you know, having worked with DHR, I've gotten to see a lot of needy people. I cannot count them. You know, there's so many of them. But it is, I think, it is the people of God, you know, it is the ones that wears his name that makes a difference, you know, and where a lot of them are taught how to fish and really not depend on welfare, you know. We were talking about Rick Santorum.
That's right.
That's one of the things I love about him is, you know, the welfare reform idea is how to teach people how to fish so that they can take care of their own families. And I remember it working. I remember when these people, and here in our section of Alabama, there's a airframe certificate that a lot of men and even women can go and get. It's a 2-year certificate. But in 2 years, they can get paid, oh my gosh, an incredible amount of money for being really aircraft mechanics is what it is. And,
yeah.
You know, with all the helicopters and airplanes, you know, around this place that needs to be fixed, you know, they always had a job. Or if they needed to move, they would move because the pay was so good with just a 2-year certificate. And the school was set up to help you. It wasn't set up to hurt you. And if you saw it as such, you know, and you're tired of being in the dumps, you really can make a difference, and you never saw those people back. Once they taught themselves how to fish, did not come back. And that's what welfare reform did. And so I'm just really excited because that was just one of his ideas that worked. And another thing that they really talked down on, which, you know, he brought out Title 20. I would not have known that until he brought that out, that, you know, here, yeah, there's this rule that, you know, makes you do this regarding, you know, Planned Parenthood and all that. And but nobody else thought of what he did, which is to set up the very opposite of it, which is an abstinence program, to fund, start funding abstinence program, the very opposite. And so to me, you know.
And he was ridiculed. He was ridiculed by Rick Santorum was ridiculed by Ron Paul for doing that, calling it just an additional drain on the budget, the abstinence, teaching abstinence in the public schools, which actually in the scheme of things cost very little. But, you know.
I wonder sometimes if Ron Paul is blind on certain issues of faith that's important to people of faith. And that's what I wonder about. How deep is his faith, Ms. Barbara, which I know that's between him and God, but if he's going to be our next president, oh, my gosh, I think I've seen what some people said, you know. Please don't, because we know what's going to happen, you know, regarding the Middle East and his stand on Iran. But for people that are gung-ho about Ron Paul, Ms. Barbara, I think it's a blindness because they have access to all this information, especially about Iran, but yet they love this man. It's almost like a worship of this man. And for them not to see that how important this is, how this is so hurtful to the apple of God's eye, Israel, and they say they are Christians, I think it must be a blindness in these people's minds.
Perhaps it is. You know, we sometimes have blindness in certain areas until it, you know, perhaps it is. But I like what you said about Rick Santorum regarding the welfare reform and what a difference it made in so many people's lives. And he worked hard on that welfare reform. Can you... do you remember anything else about it?
Well,
maybe who?
I do.
Well, what I can remember about it was they were required to search for work in order to get food stamps. You know, after a certain length of time, you got it, but you know, you had this certain length of time where you had to really find, you know, if you're able to work, you know, if you're disabled, then you can come up with, you know, doctor's statement that, you know, says you are not able to work, then, you know, you are not forced into this. But otherwise, you had a certain length of time to come up, you know, and find you a job or go to school, if I remember right. And a lot of people were able to go to school. And then a lot of people, you know, who's not used to working, was forced to go find a job. And lo and behold, after they started getting their checks, Miss Barbara, they liked it. They liked being able to buy their toilet paper, shampoo, things that makes you feel good. You know, food stamps, you can't buy that. I don't know if most Americans don't realize that. People on food stamps, if that's all they have, they cannot buy toiletries with that. Can you imagine not being able to buy toilet paper if that's all the money you're getting?
No,
you cannot buy, you know, for women that time of the month, we have to have our special things. I hate to say it on the radio, but, you know, that's very demeaning. That's very, very demoralizing to a woman when you can't even have those things that, you know, you need. And so that's why I think it worked so well, because once they did get a job and they had their own money, their mindset, it's like being out in the sunshine. You hear, you know, sunlight is good for you. It makes you feel better. That's what worked it. It made them feel better because they were starting to provide for their own families. And a lot of them, you know, I did not see again. I was just really, it was such a blessing, Miss Barbara, to see that. That was the best thing that I saw out of the food stamp program, when that came in and they had a chance to do that. But they've changed things now, so a lot of this, you know, because the economy's so bad, you're not required to do this work, you know, search anymore. You know, that's Obama's, I think. And more people are on food stamps than when he came on. And, you know, to get that mindset back again on that, you know, being given the dole. And that is really, truly demoralizing to a human being, because we are created in God's image. And, you know, he created us really to be able to do good things, I believe, and to, you know, nurture our families, you know, help our families, provide for our families. That's what a man's job is. I mean, can you imagine a man who feels out of control because they can't go to work and they're being given the money to buy certain things, and really not everything they want? How low that man must feel, Miss Barbara. No wonder crime rate's so high. You know.
Well, you know, real men, men who like to bear the burden of providing for their families, it's terribly humiliating to be without work. It's demoralizing. It hurts them in the deepest parts of their being. I've seen it, and I know what I'm talking about. But to those that are raised up to think that the government owes them, and that that's just part of life, that's routine, that's normal for the government to pay them to you know, whatever they need. That's a different story. They don't have self-respect anyway. So, you know, that's not demoralizing or dehumanizing or, you know, any of that. But to a real man who feels the dignity of a human being, the way, you know, the way God created us to have dignity and self-respect and so forth, you know, it is so hurtful to them and to see them. But you're right. God created us to soar like an eagle, not crawl on our belly like a snake, a serpent, an insect, and grovel in the dirt. You know, and that's what has been so different about this country is, when the founding fathers, when we won our independence, and they thoughtfully and cooperatively put together a plan to protect that freedom that they had won in our war for independence. They were so careful to make that plan to protect our freedom, where every human being would have respect and dignity and have the opportunity to soar like an eagle, to use all the gifts and abilities that God has given each person, notwithstanding each person, because each one is created in his image and likeness. And so they protected the individual and, you know, protected the opportunities for individuals to produce and succeed and all of that. So you're absolutely right. It's getting a handout is not a pleasant thing for those who respect themselves, you know.
And Ms. Barbara, too, last night I remember at that debate, which, you know, I'd like to really cover a little bit of some of the, I think, the Ron Paul. There is a, you know, there's so much lies being put out there. And I don't have the article in front of me, but I remember reading an article that really debunked one of the ads that the Ron Paul team had put on about Santorum really having a problem with the Tea Party. And it was, things were taken out of context. And when I read where it came from and how it was taken out of context, you understand it. I need to find that again because I thought I really need to share that because this is a perfect example of what this Ron Paul team has done. To me, if when you take things out of context like that, there is something cowardly and wrong with that. You know, it's like
you
putting
know what
it
else?
Out there thinking it will work. Never mind that it's not true, but that, you know, it'll drive some people away from the man. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ms. Barbara.
No, I'm sorry, Diana. But when you said that, it something clicked, and I realized something. I was offended, and I was stunned at the orchestrated booing, and it was orchestrated, and it only came to Rick Santorum. He was the only one who was booed. That was orchestrated. That was planned by the Ron Paul people, and I think by the Romney people as well. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, very rude. Yeah.
Well,
very rude.
That is not normal. In that setting, that was planned. It was planned. Mm-hmm. I believe it was planned that certain things were, and when one started booing, then, you know, for it to build up, that booing to build up. I really believe that.
Yeah, I think you're right, Ms. Barbara. And I'll try to post that link to, because I remember reading an article from Alice, and I can't remember what her last, I think it's Lillian, but it was regarding a video that they had, and parts of it were taken out and used, misused, to make
uh-huh.
it look like Santorum was against the Tea Party, and it was uh-huh. just that. It was beautifully done. You know, the way that they cut it out was beautiful. You know, it did a really good job of showing him that he had a problem with the Tea Party, but it was so out of context, and I'm so glad that they pointed that out because I've never seen it beautifully laid out, the truth, you know, how one takes things out of context. And there it was, you know, plain as day, and just really makes you think twice about Ron Paul. If I was a person with common sense, I'd not have anything with somebody like this. Anybody that will have anything, any part of putting something which is a cowardly lie, you know, like this, they're not worthy to be the holder of the position of the President of the United States. But anyway, but I know it's done time and again. But Ms. Barbara, there was one time, do you remember when the crowd got quiet? And I know that the camera panned to the crowd, and you could tell that something had held their attention. And it was Rick Santorum talking about the family. Do you remember that, Ms. Barbara?
You know, I think I do. I think I do. Yeah, there
and
was
I think to myself, yeah, it's like there was just a quiet all of a sudden, all eyes.
Uh-huh.
They were just really, they were wanting to hear what he had to say. And I think to myself, that was one of the good things last night, because he did hit a chord. And I'm sure if he hit a chord with those people, it hit a chord all across the nation.
That's right, and that needs to be captioned and put where people can see it and hear it. But, you know, while we're talking about this, Diana, some other things are coming to me. And they're, do you know how over the years we have voiced to each other, we've voiced on the radio, our frustration about the lack of involvement by pastors and priests and Christians, those who are in church and who haven't been involved in the cultural war against evil, but they stay in the church. Okay, so we've done this, right? You know, a lot. We get frustrated, and we love God's people, and we want everyone to be involved and take the gifts that God's given them and use them for His glory and use them to in this culture war, you know, use them against evil. Well, I've been this past week. I've heard that Rick Santorum had made comments against the Protestant Church, and I thought, if that's true, that is the dumbest thing that he could do, and I don't think he is. So there's something not right there. And then when we were talking today, I thought, well, I know that he has probably talked about his own church a whole lot more, and I think that was pulled out of context. I think he was mentioning everyone, pulling everyone into it, including the Protestant Church, not just the Catholic Church, his frustration with the Catholic Church, but he's frustrated, as we are, with all the churches. And I think that was pulled out of context, saying that he was critical of the Protestant Church in America. I think that was one of those, you know, one of those intentional, misleading statements. And he just could not have done that. I know he could not have done that. First of all, it would not have been in his heart to do that. It would not have been. And when you think about the great blessing the pastors having gotten behind him and helped him like they did in Iowa, you know that he would never have said that. That was pulled out of context. It had to have been.
Oh, yeah. Well, again, it's like that remark about the Tea Party, Ms. Barbara. I mean,
exactly.
You know, how hard did they have to find that? They really had to comb through to find the right words that he had said, because they want the Tea Party to really be to disavow Rick Santorum. And that was a perfect speech. When I saw that, I thought, what in the world? You know, I see his mouth moving. He's saying it.
Yeah.
But then when you find out the truth, and I guess that's why it's good, you know, what they say about if you want to know the counterfeit, you have to study the original. And that's what you know, Ms. Barbara. You know in your heart what this man stands for. We know he's got a child at home, Bella. And that's one of the reasons he has said he is running. And I think when we study the man that we have before us today, we know what kind of a man, what kind of a president he would be. And so I think everything else that they try to throw at him, it's just going to fall off. Because, you know, you're questioning it, and rightly.
And I think that's what we've got to do is we've got to, and it's funny because the more people see him, Ms. Barbara, because he's not one of these that's going to be coming in the room and just standing in the back. He has such a personality that he likes to really get to know people. He likes to shake their hands. You know, he likes to take time with them if he can. And so the more he's around people, the more they see how genuine he is. And all this doubt, they just fly away. So, as much as the mainstream media tries to box him, it's not going to work. You know, they can't box him. So.
Well, the new buzzword, against Rick Santorum is judgmental. The media, the lamestream media, are trying to put that label on him as and you listen, you'll hear it. They're repeating it up. They're repeating it. You know, to make him into this image of being judgmental, and they're doing everything they can, using everything they can to portray him in that way. And which he's not at all, not at all.
Well, Miss Barbara, this is from the same people that says that, you know, Satan's not real. Who are you talking about?
Yeah,
evil?
That's true.
I mean, they're shooting themselves, I think, in the foot at the same time they're spewing stuff. So go ahead, Miss Barbara.
Well, I was just going to say, Diana, Bill O'Reilly is one who's picked up on it and repeated.
Oh, what do you say?
About
the judgmental.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if you believe in an absolute God, absolute creator, you're judgmental, aren't you? So when I hear that, I just think, well, you know, there are absolutes, and we know
that's
of
right.
one.
So, that's right.
Yeah, call me that. But that's funny. It's funny in a way, but in a way it's not, Miss Barbara, because it really shows how people are missing the mark. And I'm not God, but I don't want to take a chance on missing the mark and not going to heaven.
That's right. That's right. Our what we do matters. It does matter. And we don't want to mislead or in any way share anything but the truth. So, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, Diana, we're almost at the end of the show today. Can you believe it? If we could for just a minute, when we thought that Grace Marie Turner with the Galen Institute was going to be on with us today, but instead she's going to be on Friday, next Friday, a week from tomorrow. But I was reviewing some of her material, and one of the things I came across that I really like that people can – I want to mention it now because I want people to be thinking about it. But Grace Marie Turner, of course, co-authored Why Obamacare is Wrong for America, and – it is the best book and full of information. But she gives 15 things that you can do to make your voice heard. And number 12 is start a Facebook page to give your friends a chance to write their own stories and tell them to others about their health care stories, what's happening with their physicians. And so I wanted to bring that to everyone's attention and encourage that you could have Facebook friends, write about their experiences with their health insurance and the doctors, and if they're on Medicare, to write how if they're having trouble finding a doctor or whatever it is, maybe just information that they come across regarding health care reform. Or whatever. But one of the things that we're going to do here in Southeast Alabama is we're going to have a panel discussion. This is what we're working on now, to have to invite some physicians and others to have a panel discussion about health care in our area and what we're facing with Obamacare. And our good friend Judy Jay with the Wiregrass Republicans is working on that. And inspired, she's inspired by this book, Why Obamacare is Wrong for America. And so I think that's something that different clubs could do, not only Republican clubs, but community organizations as well, neighborhood organizations. You know, different people could think about perhaps doing that. You have a friend who's a doctor. Well, could he come speak about what's going on?
Well, Ms. Barbara, you know, when Greg Marie was coming, that sounds wonderful, Ms. Barbara, and I'm so glad Ms. Judy J got that book. But I was just thinking, I was going to ask Ms. Grace Marie, you know, there's these interstate compacts, and I think they're seeing that as a way to help undo, but she is very determined, Ms. Grace Marie, to get it across to us how important it is, that it is a must-do to repeal it in its entirety. And I was just going to ask her today, you know, what are some of the things that if we don't, you know, do the full repeal and just go through the interstate compact that she sees as very worrisome. So hopefully I'll remember to ask her that, because I know some states are pushing forth that compact. I'm even seeing that here. But I remember when we talked to Ms. Barbara, she was concerned about that, because I think, you know, she sees that the full repeal is really what we have got to force. And
absolutely,
that we cannot settle for anything less. And
absolutely.
So,
and
but
so, you know, that 2012 election, our election is so important. We've got to turn over the Senate and get conservatives who pledged to repeal it in there, and we've got to get a new president. And yes, we are at the bottom of the hour. And Diana, would you close us in prayer? And I've enjoyed it very much.
Only to Ms. Barbara. And I just want to also mention to the listeners, please think about having voter registration drives in your churches.
Yes.
You know, when only 50% of the church votes, something's wrong. We need to get more people registered. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you have given us, Lord. You said for us to come boldly to the throne of grace. You asked us, you told us to ask you for wisdom. And, Lord, we on City on a Hill are just so dumbfounded at how gracious you have been through all this time, Lord, giving us your very best, giving us some of the wisest people in this nation, Lord. And we are so grateful, Lord. We just love, Lord, the truth that we have heard. We pray, Lord, that you will just let the listeners to remember that, Lord, you're very present for them too, that you would give them the wisdom that they need. And Lord, I don't know if there's some of them that, Lord, just still doesn't know who to vote for. But, Lord, I pray that as much as they love their family, that they would first pray to you for wisdom, Lord, that you would guide them so that the future for their families, Lord, will be made brighter, not darker, by the president that we put in office. Lord, we just thank you for loving us. We thank you for your son dying on the cross, and nothing is too hard. So we ask you to continue to wake us up, Lord. Help us to grow in you. And we ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Diana.
Thank you, Ms. Barbara. Well, we encourage your listeners to come tune in tomorrow. We're going to have an awesome... Our guest, Neil Mammon, is going to be on, and he has a book that's going to be waking up a lot of the pastors. So they will be getting involved, I think, after they get the book and hear from him, Ms. Barbara. So we ask you to listen. And next week we're going to have Martha Roby will be joining us. It'll probably be on Tuesday is what I got the email today. So we're looking forward to that. Hopefully with me back home now, I can get my ducks in a row like I did too. And we will have our guests on like we want to, so you can get informed, listeners. So thank you for listening to City on a Hill. Go to www.com. cityonahill.tv, and may the Lord bless you. Thank you, and goodbye.